Hello everyone, this is Justin.
This is Sean.
And this is The Dot Matrix at thedotmatrix.com and wherever else you find us. And we're here episode 37.
37, and it's about 5 weeks since our last one. That's what we're kind of averaging lately, I think.
Well, we've both had various trips, so I think that's a theme for our cast today, probably, at least the major theme for our conversations. But, so 5 weeks is not bad. I mean, I think we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I think if we just go, at least it's consistent this way. It's not like after 2 weeks and then after 2 months or something. You know, it's just steady 5 weeks.
Steady. And hopefully if you guys are listening, then you've heard our second week in a row with our brand new theme song, which I heard when downloaded onto my iPod just the other day.
Yes. Awesome.
It's great.
Yeah, well, I'm glad, because that was, the theme was so impromptu. You know, we were just testing out the mics like we do before every podcast.
Yes. And now we are in the second week two of our two mic podcast system, which seems to be working so far.
And I'm so pleased that it is. Because I was like, oh, yeah, just use the same program we had saved. And then just delete what we don't need. And then all of our settings are the same. You do that with any other computer file, right?
So it's true.
Why not with this? So I was using my brain today. I was going to say, Dexter's getting a little antsy back there. Dexter, you go lay down. Good boy.
Okay, I was expecting him to respond.
He usually does. He's just a little shy because he knows wrong mic.
Right, of course. But I have to say, I'm not in the best physical mood right now because of places to be for doing a podcast, because I've just had the very spicy Indian dinner. Much spicier than normal. We've talked about how there's inconsistency with the spice level. Mm. And I hadn't had it this different than before, so it was quite spicy. And I guess I got a little bit of allergies, but I didn't take any allergy pill today. So I'm feeling a bit stuffed up today. But
yeah, and it doesn't help being around my dog, I'm sure. And I keep forgetting that because I think, well, who's allergic to dogs? But actually, there's several of our friends are, and I feel so bad. I'm like, oh, say hi to Dexter. But then, of course, you don't really want to touch him because then you touch your face and then you're screwed.
Well, and I don't mind at all. It's just like, got to make sure I wash my hands right away kind of thing, right?
But I have to admit, I can't get that stuck in my mind, though, the fact that you're allergic.
Well, I think you're allergic to cats much stronger than I'm allergic to dogs.
Maybe that's why.
Because I'm totally not allergic to cats all that much. And I'm allergic to dogs, but not in the same intensity as you are with cats, so.
Right. Okay, maybe that's what it is. I don't see you, your windpipe closing up like mine does when I'm around a
right.
cat.
Right. Oh, I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, no.
Okay, that's
I'm going to have to turn that sneeze down when we're mixing later. Look at that pattern. It was like when someone lies on a polygraph test. I'm going to say lithograph, but no, that's something else. But yeah, you've got a big story to tell about your big Europe trip, don't you?
Yes, I just came back a few days ago and feeling worldly.
Yeah.
Feeling tired. I'm still a bit jet lagged. It was Barcelona to Paris was my trip, basically. And had lots of interesting insights, a lot of interesting stories. But it's funny because now that we're talking on this podcast and I'm expected to tell stories about it, it's sort of like how everyone's asked me today, so how was the trip? And I'm like, well, what's your favorite place? And it's like hard to think about where to start,
Right.
And it's funny because I said to you before we started the podcast when we first got together tonight, I said, we're talking about Paris because you were just in Paris, you and Elaine, a few years ago. Me just coming back from it. And I hate to say that, it's my third time in Paris, every year.
No, be happy and say it proud.
Okay. Well, I mean, it has been over 10 years, 12 years since I've been. So, and, it's, I mean, it's still Paris and it's still lovely and wonderful. And the sort of what I said to you before was like, but it's sort of like a city resting on its laurels. It's sort of like what people stereotypically say about when you get married, you know, like, or when you start being in a relationship. When you date, you make an effort. But once you've got them, or once you're in the relationship and you're married, mm-hmm. you let it go.
Yeah.
Is that what happens to you and Elaine? Have you let yourself go, Sean?
Quite the opposite, actually.
Well, you're working out really hard today at the gym, so.
And she's the main inspiration for that, so. It's, I have to say how much easier it is to do when you have something to do it with, and that's why you and I go. I can feel much better about, especially the weights, like especially that one you showed me today.
Yes,
get my arms going.
But. I call it the Hulk. You're totally feeling like you're the Hulk.
But back to Paris.
So, you know, but I loved Paris. I mean, as you know, I did a couple of vacation rentals, which is so worth it to do. Like, I mean, I stayed in some hotels, as you know, when I was in places for less than, like, you know, like a couple of nights or one night. But otherwise, like with Barcelona, I was there for 9 days, and Paris, 5 days. You know, you end up wanting to stay someplace other than a hotel, right? And the great vacation rentals through VRBO website, Vacation Rentals by Owner, I think that's what VRBO stands for. And very good service. You know, the owners were all very responsive on my emails and various different things. And the places were great. Like, the place in Barcelona I stayed with was actually bigger than what the pictures look like online, which never happens. No. Like, you never go to a place and it's like, this is bigger than I thought, right? It's always smaller.
That's really good.
And the Paris place was really nice and... great quality place in a nice part of town, you know, and a little bit hilly for my taste, because you know me and gravity, I don't like to fight it.
Well, Elaine and I had talked about that too, because some of those metro stops, you know, are got quite an amount of stairs too, and especially if you don't see exactly where the elevator is right off the bat.
Right, and I had the huge luggage, and I think when you were in Paris, you stayed in the same area, the same metro stop, I think, is what it was, right? And I think Elaine said to me, or was it you who said, or one of you said, we climbed up with our luggage all the way up, because we didn't realize. And I was going to do the same thing, because there's this elevator. I'm like, why would I wait for an elevator? It's no big deal. Mm. And then I was with our friend Shalisha. Mm-hmm. She's like, but it's 115 steps. I'm like, how do you know it's 115 steps? And she's like, there's a sign right there. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, because you go up and you go around, because it's circular. Yes. And then you're like, oh, we're more. Still going.
Yeah. But, so she's the one who pointed it out. Otherwise, I would have had the same experience you guys did, so. But
man, did we feel good after accomplishing that?
Yeah, see, I don't have that opinion. I would come to a different conclusion. But, you know, so, I mean, I didn't do the Louvre or the Orsay or the Eiffel Tower. I didn't, you know, because I'd done those in previous times. So I just really relaxed and just enjoyed the place and did a lot of shopping, really. Mm. And it's funny, there's a store called, I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's called Uniqlo, like U-N-I space Q-L-O.
Okay.
It's a store.
Is it like a chain store?
Well, it was funny because I was there on the Champs-Élysées, you know, like, or not the Champs-Élysées, sorry, it was the, where the Galerie Lafayette is, you know, on that Avenue Haussmann or something, right? With all the different department stores and really big shops are.
Right.
And near the Opera House. Mm-hmm. And I see the store and it's got like, you know, it looks like it's like Japanese characters and it has this name, Uniqlo or whatever. And there's all these Japanese people taking their pictures in front of it. And I kept thinking, okay, this must be a pretty famous Japanese chain of some kind and it's in Paris. And you go in, and it's like a clothing store. It's basically, I think it's like a Japanese H&M kind of thing.
Okay.
And they were celebrating 1 year in Paris, being in, you know, and I went to their website later on that night just to see, and they had two locations, and they're both in Paris and in France, and they were both in Paris. And they were, like, selling jeans for, like, €9.90, and I was like... Hmm. Like made in Japan jeans kind of thing. So I was like, wow.
Oh, that's cool. Good sizes.
Yeah. So I went back and I bought a pair of jeans, but it was at their big location in that area. And there's so many people waiting in line to try clothes on. So I was like, oh, you know, I'm not going to do that. I know I'm a 30. So I bought 30. And I went home I bought my dad a shirt too.
Yeah.
And I tried on the jeans and I was like, it was tight.
Was, huh?
Yeah. But they had a different location at La Défense, which is sort of that area that's kind of like called Little Manhattan, because they have all these modern skyscrapers, right?
Yeah.
And so I went there, because I wanted to go to the area anyways and take a look. And there was no lineup, so I tried on the 31s, and it fit. And actually, I don't know, the jeans I wore today was from that store. Nice. And
they're nice.
Yeah, I got the blue, and I thought, I wanted a pair of gray ones, and I couldn't decide between these two other two grays, and I thought, for €9.90, why am I choosing? So I bought all three. Yeah,
totally. What a great deal.
And then I went back the next day to the original store, and I returned the pants that were too small for me. And I said the story to my boss today at the office, and he's like, so what have you grown, or has size 30 gotten smaller? And I said, I think 30 in Japan is different than 30 here. Is what I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But I really loved, at the beginning, I didn't think I liked Barcelona. Mm-hmm. And then actually, as time went on in the 9 days, I really started to like it. And when I started to see all the Gaudi stuff, which everyone talks about, mm-hmm. I could see, like, I really got started to think about sort of nature and just being natural and being true to yourself and who you are. And I mean, that's all the whole thing about Gaudi architecture is about, you know, reflecting what is in nature. That's what architecture is supposed to, that's what his theory was.
Uh-huh.
And there's a, like, if you look at, like, the Sagrada Familia or some of the other things he built, like, especially the Sagrada and some of the other churches that he had designed, it's about taking weights and, you know, having a whole bunch of chains and suspending weights on them to see how they would just naturally curve. And then you flip it around and those curves become the spires.
Okay,
right? So,
okay.
So it's, that's why it looks so organic like that, because it's just using the natural way of gravity and how lines would form based on that way. And so I was like, wow, okay. I really start to be impressed by that. And the Gaudi architecture is just pretty phenomenal. Like, it's pretty out of this world kind of thing.
That's so cool.
So it was pretty cool to be in that environment. It was really hot.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was really nice. And there's, like, funny, because, like, our friend Chalisha was had an apartment near the beach, right? And all the apartments are quite small, and they have a, like, small little balcony where you basically can fit one or two folding chairs on it, right? And it's funny because you look at all these balconies and they're all, especially the ones near the beach, they're all facing one way or another way and usually facing towards the beach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember sitting there one day, one of the first days I was there at her place, and you look across the street and there's this another building and there's this one woman who's probably, like, you know, getting into her senior years, sitting there looking out, you know, at a base, like, the ocean was, like, or the Mediterranean was, like, at least a couple of blocks away. Like, it wasn't really close, but you could still see it if you sort of sat there.
Mm-hmm.
And she sat there for hours. Just sits there. Doesn't have a book. Doesn't have anything. Just sits there.
Amazing.
And, I mean, it was reflective of a much slower pace of life. Like, I thought Barcelona, the life and the pace in Barcelona was very civilized. I think it's, you know, like, I really liked, there's a lot of similarities between, let's say, Spain and the architecture and in Catalonia area, which is where Barcelona is, and Italy. But mm-hmm. I much preferred or felt comfortable with the pace and the culture and the people of Spain and of Barcelona. And at one point it was, like, so hot in one of the days after I seen this woman, and I was sitting there in the balcony and I was staring out towards the Mediterranean that I could see, you know. And I just sat there for at least a good 10 minutes too,
just gazing.
And because it's so hot and your mind just thinks, and I just kept thinking, you know, that's why people sit there, because sometimes all you can do is sit there and just be in your own thoughts. And I kept thinking, you know, this woman who sits there for hours probably just, you know, sees what's going on in the world. She must be, like, the smartest person in the world to be able to sit there and have all that time to her
wow.
self, you know, like, it's a pretty great life. If I had done that for 3 weeks, I probably would have come back the most rested person ever, mm-hmm. and feeling really at peace with myself and stuff. But of course, I had other things to do, right? But I think that's a pretty cool thing. Like, you know, I think if I didn't think about it or didn't experience that level of stillness, I probably would have wondered, what do you do? Like, this is wasting your time away, right? You start putting North American sensibilities around time and productivity.
Chasing time.
Right? And exactly. And so that was a really a moment of a little light bulb moment.
Right? Yeah.
So, but yeah. And then I was in Andorra for a weekend, which we talked about in the last podcast about the craziness about this co-principality and everything. And it was just really like, there is a lot of shopping and there's a lot of newer buildings. And because, I mean, the constitution wasn't ratified until 1995. So they didn't have a constitution until 1995. And they voted, they had a referendum, and apparently the referendum was voted, the constitution was voted in just by like the slimmest of margins. Wow. Because people didn't like change, or they've been doing a certain way for like hundreds of years, right? Jeez. And we did a lot of shopping, but then there was a little tour of the parliament buildings we did, which is like an old mansion which got turned into the parliaments. There's 28 seats, and there used to be so each of the 7 villages have 4 MPs basically. Mm-hmm. And they were saying how there used to be 6, so there used to be 20 it used to be 24 seats, and then one of the villages had some part of it split off into its own separate village. Hmm. So they had to add 4 seats, so you can see how they awkwardly added 4 seats. And they had this whole cupboard which apparently holds all the archives, and the parliament session can't start until everyone's there, or representatives from each of the 7 regions, so they have a key to open up the archives, right? It's like a whole tradition.
Weird.
And when they had 6, there was all the six keyholes were aligned along the door really nicely. But when they had 7, they had to take all those keyholes and move them up a bit.
Right.
And then they had to put a 7th one on the bottom, and it notches into the frame because there's barely room for it. So yeah. Like all these little cute things. It's really fascinating. Like
it's so different.
And if you can get over like the fact that there's like a lot of duty-free shopping, a lot of liquidation in outlet stores, and there's the biggest spa in Europe is in Andorra. Really? There's a lot of quirky history about this place, you know, and it's a long history, so it's kind of cool. Like, I know, it's pretty amazing. So I was really pleased about it. So I was glad to be there. And of course, the Bilbao, the Guggenheim in Bilbao, which I went to next, is everything people thought. Like, it's the most fascinating building in the city. And the sittings, people who I went talked to who had been there, they don't really speak kindly to the city. It's a pretty industrial city, right? So it's definitely not Barcelona in that sense. But the Guggenheim really does change the whole, you know, facade of the city. And and it's like, it's a very alive building. There's a lot of art that comes alive during the night and stuff. It's a very vibrant little area. So that was kind of cool. And I had like the best steak dinner ever in Bordeaux.
No.
And
Oh god.
Oh, I almost cried. Oh, it was so good.
I'm sure I would have been in tears too. Oh boy.
And Entrecote, and it was that's the name of the restaurant, and our friend
Entrecote.
Yeah, Entrecote. And our friends Nazim and Lloyd both recommended it to me, and I'm not a big line person because they don't take reservations, but you know, we got in line, Chalishin and I. And then suddenly within 5 minutes, the line doubled behind us, and you're like, okay, I guess I'm waiting in line, right? And, you know, we waited about almost an hour, and, you know, people were talking to around the area. They hadn't, we haven't been here in 10 years, we're coming back, and yeah, it was totally worth it.
And, sorry, what region of France was this?
This is in Bordeaux.
In Bordeaux,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, waiting an hour for a restaurant like that is...
Well, and it's funny, because I said to Shalash, I was like, it's sort of like a classier old spaghetti factory.
Okay.
You know, like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not casual. I mean, it's casual, but it's not too casual, and it's not too fancy either, you know? And they have one thing in the menu, steak and frites. Mm. And you basically go, and you sit down, and the only thing they ask you is, how do you like your steak?
Nice.
And they give you, everyone gets the same salad, and if you add, and they said if you want wine, you choose red or white. And that's it. Awesome. Like, it's a house wine, right? And the house wine was great.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was good, huh?
Oh, yeah. Like, you know me, I'm a pretty white wine kind of person.
Yeah.
But I had some really good reds. Like, I don't even know what they were. Like, I just I'm starting to get a palate towards some of the reds now, so.
Well, just being it's French wine, I mean, being here, we're always used to drinking, you know, BC wines or, you know, which can, some can be quite just really big fruit and stuff, but you don't have really that earthy kind of feel that a lot of French wines do, and it's really different. Maybe that's something more your up
maybe,
your alley,
maybe,
know?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it was just great, and in Bordeaux, they have an interesting, like, they have a lot of UNESCO heritage, the whole city is a UNESCO heritage site. And there's a lot of old buildings, there's an interesting palace that's on the outskirts of the downtown, and then there's, across the street, there's this, like, what's it called, a water mirror? And it's like a big rectangle that has about an inch of water in it, and you can walk on it. It looks like you're walking on water.
Oh, of course.
And it reflects against this building, so at night when it shines, it's like a fabulous sight. It's kind of a cool kind of urban new kind of just build activity in the city. You know, it's kind of cool. But yeah, that's sort of some of the highlights, and it was.
You bought us some chocolate, which is great.
Yes, I
did.
I did. Happy to do so. And I had some at the office today, and it was really good.
Oh, that's pretty good, huh? Yeah. Oh, God.
My nose is running, so you talk for a bit.
Yeah, sure. Well, you went to Europe, and Elaine and I went to the Okanagan, as you know. And that was a long weekend that we took, and we brought Dexter, and... And it's funny, you know, being into, I find myself quite into wine now, and after, you know, drinking it more and more after the last 4 to 5 years or something, and I never been to, you know, where they grow all the best wine in BC, which is the Okanagan, until now, and, you know, hit those wineries and stuff, and... we found a great place in a Soyuz, so we went to a Soyuz and stayed there and stayed at the Watermark Hotel, which is really great. It's like right, like, it's basically at the end of the highway, you know, that you take to get to a Soyuz, you know. So it's just like, you can't go any further and you hit the lake, basically. So we were there. And, yeah, what can I say? It was good because it was still kind of warm, you know. It wasn't coat weather or anything, which is great. And on the way in, we stopped at Inkameep, that Olympic wine, you know, like the official wine of the Olympics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, big native-owned winery out in Soyuz. Did some tasting and then checked, because we got there a little early before checking in, right? So why not go try some wine? And we did that, and we stayed at our hotel, and it was great. You know, the pool even had a water slide and all that kind of stuff. And we had this big room, 2 bedrooms. We only needed the one, of course, and a little balcony and stuff. So it was really cool.
Nice.
And the whole next day, went to a bunch of wineries, and Dexter, you know, he's in the back seat the whole day. And he would sit in the car when we went in to taste or had lunch or wherever, and went to 7 different wineries. Some that I had been looking forward to visiting because I had had their wine here, or some others based on recommendations from various friends that I tried. So we hovered kind of between the Soyuz and Oliver, those wineries there. And sadly, our recording ended there due to some technical difficulties. So we will take it up again next time. Right here on the Dot Matrix.